Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast that always takes it there. Your host for the Tea Podcast is T from the infamous TeaBlog.com. Some people say T has a way with words. Some call him the Tom Brady of blogging, the Jay-Z of screenwriting, the Conor McGregor of podcasting. He is the man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now here is your host, T.
Welcome everyone to the Tea Podcast for Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. Welcome to the Tea Podcast number 136. How's everyone doing today? Or tonight, because this is yet again another late edition of the Tea Podcast. I've been super busy, and also I've noticed that a lot of you fine folks tend to come here at nighttime around this time when I post. And overnight going into early morning on Wednesday. So I will probably get back to the early Tuesday morning post of the Tea Podcast, the solo Tea Podcast, starting next Tuesday. We'll see how that goes. We'll play it by ear. You never know. This one won't be that long tonight. I got one main topic that I want to get into. And then I'm going to give a quick thought on Kobe Bryant passing away. I'm going to save the bulk of that conversation for myself and Bilo for Thursday's podcast. We'll get into that, the coronavirus, and a few other things that we're going to talk about on Thursday's podcast. Tonight's podcast, I think I've been making you all well aware of me being in a serious committed relationship. Found the love of my life, Melty. Melty, who she and I have been discussing her return to the Tea Podcast. I tend to think that Melty is a better co-host than Bilo. Bilo, I know you're listening. I hope you're listening because you tend to not listen to my solo podcast. That's why I think you're not as good as Melty. You don't do your research. You don't do your homework. You don't commit to the damn Tea Podcast. But Melty, as my girlfriend and also a possible new permanent co-host, we were talking about her returning to the Tea Podcast. People keep on asking over and over again, especially after what we did with the Festivus airing grievances back on December 23rd of 2018, when will your girlfriend return to the Tea Podcast, T? So we're thinking about maybe a monthly guest appearance / co-host, special guest co-host with Melty coming up soon. I'm trying to work on something. We might do a Wednesday night edition next week. We're thinking about doing our take on the Oscars, our predictions on who will win. Some of the major categories, we'll try to sit down and record that, and maybe they'll get that up on next Wednesday. No promises. Melty also has a very busy schedule, and we do enjoy our quality time together as much as I think she enjoys the Tea Podcast. I don't want her to be forced to sit down. I'd rather be doing a lot of fun things with her, but even though the podcast is fun, and I think it's fun for her as well. So with that being said, with Melty, we went to New York City. So yes, last weekend, the weekend before, I came on the podcast. I went to Las Vegas impromptu. I got tickets to UFC 246. Saw the great fucking Conor McGregor. Took Melty along. We had a blast. And this past weekend, we went to New York City. It was Melty's birthday. I'm not going to give away the day, nor am I going to give away her age. She looks way younger than her actual age, but she is not that old. I am a few years older than Melty, so I am proud that I am in a relationship with someone much younger than me. Keeps me spry. It's good to have a young, beautiful, intelligent, caring girlfriend. So to do something nice for Melty, I basically planned her birthday, which in past relationships, I've never, I hate to say it, cared enough or been committed enough that I wanted to plan a full-blown birthday celebration, a birthday travel plan, a series of events for someone. But Melty, I love doing things for her, and I love planning, and I wanted to make our first birthday together, her first birthday together, a special one. So I planned a couple of months ago. I surprised her. I unveiled everything I was going to do with a trip to New York City. I booked the train, Amtrak. I like the train. I'm not going to lie. I love driving Wesley Snipes, my car, Wesley Snipes 2.0. But if you listen to the podcast, in the summertime, I drove down to New York City back in July with my niece. We went to the Harry Potter play, both parts in one day. Drove down, saw Bull Potts on a Saturday, came back on a Sunday. Driving down wasn't as bad. We got down there pretty quick until we hit the city traffic. And New York City traffic going 4 or 5 blocks took us 40 minutes, and it fucking sucked. Then I remember Wesley Snipes being parked somewhere else, being unattended. They had to valet him off-site. That was stressing me out, I'm not going to lie. You heard the podcast last week when I went on my story about what my building did to Wesley. I am very protective of my car. I am very protective of my things. I know the material possessions, but I work very hard for the things that I enjoy. And I know I have a weird obsession with my car slash cars in the past. That's just how I am. So I didn't want to do that this time. And with the Harry Potter theme, I thought it'd be cool to take the train. I don't take the train in the city at all. I walk to work. When I get around town in the city, I walk. I drive Wesley and we take Ubers. So I thought it'd be fun to take the train. So I booked the Amtrak. 4-hour commute there, 4-hour commute back. You know, I couldn't get the Acela. It was already booked. So we had a few regional stops. Wasn't bad. Very calm. You know, you're going to be on schedule if weather permitted or anything that didn't have any issues. And we didn't. So we got down there in our 4 hours. We left Back Bay Station in Boston early Saturday morning, got down to New York. We got out on Penn Station, and now we had to get to our hotel. It was downpouring like cats and dogs in Penn Station. We came out, and I didn't want to wait for the Uber, so we got a cab. And we got to the taxi line, and we got into the cab in like true New York fashion on a Saturday. Classic cab driver, like the cab drivers that I've come to know in New York City, drove like a fucking maniac. Up 7th Ave to our hotel, and we got there pretty quick, even with the traffic, and we checked in to the W Hotel in Times Square. I booked a suite at the corner of Broadway and Times Square. It was a special room. The view, we had to wait for our room to get ready. In New York hotels aren't usually right to 4 o'clock, so we got some comped drinks. I ran down the street and got us some New York style pizza. I am a guy that grew up in East Boston. You know that here on the podcast. I grew up in San Tapio's, but New York East Coast pizza, you can't touch it. Doesn't matter what the store is. Any corner has a pizza. To me, all the New York pizza tastes the same, and it's all good. Extra greasy. You got that little bit of crisp. Got the cheese on it. So I grabbed us four big slices of cheese. Brought him back to the lobby. It's called the living room inside the W Hotel. Shout out to the living room. And we had our drinks. We had our pizza. We waited about 2 hours to get our room. Our room was ready at 4 o'clock on the dot, no earlier. And we got sent up to our room. In our room, there was 57 floors in the W Hotel in Times Square. Our corner suite at the corner of Broadway and Times Square was on the 43rd floor. Ladies and gentlemen, I have stayed in many hotels. I have stayed in many hotels around the country, around the world. I have stayed at the Marquis. I have stayed at a lot of nice hotels in New York City. Never have I been that high up. And New York is New York, right? New York is always constantly being developed. There's buildings being knocked down, buildings being built on top of it. Just when you think there's no more space in New York City, I haven't been in Times Square in years, let alone that high up to look around. The city skyline changes every time. Times Square itself is different. Some of the streets coming in are now blocked off. They made room for bicycles, and they went from 4 lanes down to 2, a lot like Boston. But they built out like table space onto the street where people could just go sit, and you actually have unobstructed views to take pictures of Times Square now. Go to my T-Blog Instagram. I have the T-Blog, T-B-L-A-W-G. I took some beautiful pictures of New York City and Times Square. I even did my infamous T-blog pose with my classic Red Sox hat right in the middle of Times Square, right in the heart of enemy territory, Yankee territory. Threw a flag up. Too many tourists. Nobody locally is going to say shit to me. Even if they did, I am not one you want to say shit to. I don't care if I'm a Boston guy in New York City. I don't stand for that. Threw the hat up, took my picture. So in the hotel room, it was beautiful. It wasn't that big, but the location, that view, you got two windows that almost intersected at the corner that you could look out to Broadway. You could look out to Times Square. So we got settled in. We got ready to go out to dinner. We had a reservation at Bobby Vann's Steakhouse. Shout out to Bobby Vann's. I've only did the one in Washington, D.C. across from the White House. And Bobby Vann's is a really nice steakhouse. I love steak. Melty loves steak. And we had our steak dinners. We opened up a nice bottle. We got a bottle of Benzinger that we had, a nice bottle of Cab that we actually went to the vineyard in Napa. You heard me talk about my Napa review back in October. and we found a bottle. The markup is fucking ridiculous. I know what we paid for the bottles out there in Napa and what they marked up on that menu, but that's just how wine goes. And now that I have a little bit of a better understanding of the markup rate, it's just fucking nuts to me. So we had a bottle, we had a steak, we had mashed potatoes as a side, we had a Caesar as an appetizer, we had shrimp cocktail, can't go wrong with classic shrimp cocktail, and we had lobster mac and cheese as another side dish. I've had many lobster mac and cheese at a lot of different steak places, and this one at Bobby Vance, not only do they put the lobster meat within the mac and cheese, but they serve it with a big tail and a big claw that you could just pull the meat out of, and it was phenomenal. And then for dessert, I called ahead of time to talk to them, let them know it was Melty's birthday. I didn't want them to go ahead and do a public display of clapping and singing, but they did bring over a nice piece of tiramisu with a candle on it to celebrate Melty's birthday. So I tried to plan a great evening. I tried to get, you know, transportation down there and a nice hotel room that neither one of us have ever really stayed in before at that level, and a good steak dinner. It was a great meal. Melty was very thankful the whole time. She's a very appreciative, giving, compassionate person, and that's why I love doing these things for her, and I want to do these things for her the rest of my life. So we had a wrap-up dinner on the dot, and I kept everything in a central location. I think you've heard about my travel plans before. When I've stayed in London or Paris or Rome, anywhere, I try to stay in a central location, so the walking is a minimum. With my girlfriend, you know, you never know what the shoe situation or the weather situation. I don't want her to walk too far. It's New York City. Sure, we could hop in another cab or an Uber, but I had everything in probably a 3-block radius. I did a lot of due diligence to plan for that. So besides getting over from Penn Station, the hotel, Bobby Vance, and then Wicked were all right near each other. Everything we did in like 7 minutes. So after dinner at 7:30, I did Broadway. Now, as I said earlier, I apparently did Broadway when I took my niece to go see Harry Potter. I learned something this weekend. Melty has been to see Wicked in the past in college with the original cast. I didn't know that when I booked it. I wanted to surprise her, but she was still happy to go again. I thought that when I booked Wicked that it was going to be on Broadway. The theater is not on Broadway. So when I went to see Harry Potter, that also was not on Broadway. And I was like, oh, I told Melty, I guess I'm not seeing a Broadway show after all. She's like, what do you mean? I go, it's not on Broadway, Wicked. She goes, no. She's like, that's not what it means when something's a Broadway show. It's the production. It's the production quality that puts it out. She goes, it's a Broadway show. I go, no shit. And I had no idea. I thought, and again, you know, learn something new every day. Even at my age of 42, I'm glad I could still learn. I'm glad I'm with somebody that could teach me something. I learned that it does not have to physically be on the street Broadway. And I guess I already went to a Broadway show when I went to see Harry Potter. And now this was my second Broadway show. I had no fucking idea, ladies and gentlemen. I was on Broadway. You know, it was all for Melty, but I wanted to make sure I was there. And after a long day of traveling and eating, we got the tickets. I had to meet a third-party vendor, even though I booked it through the theater itself. They outsourced some of that. So I had to meet a guy in the parking lot. I mean, again, it wasn't a shady thing. There's in a well-lit area. A lot of people getting their tickets as well. It's right next to a restaurant in the theater. He hands me the tickets. I give him my name. He hands me the tickets. He asks for a confirmation email. I showed it to him. And we go right up the stairs. You go through a metal detector, no different than going to a game. And then just like Harry Potter, the whole theater is decked out in the theme for Wicked. For those of you not familiar with Wicked, I don't know how much of my listening audience are Wicked. I know on T-Blog I had a lot of lady listeners, more than men. And I'm hoping this balance as I start running analytics is equal to that. Hopefully it's 50-50. People a little bit younger than me or up to my age demographic. But for those of you not familiar with Wicked, Wicked is the... Again, not like The Wizard of Oz was nonfiction, you know, it's fictional, but this is a more made-up version of a prequel to The Wizard of Oz. It is the relationship between the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the West, how they came to be who they are in The Wizard of Oz. I'm not going to spoil too much of Wicked, I'll get into that in a second, but as you know, I give stuff away. So Melty already knew the story. I honestly didn't do any research. I knew it tied into The Wizard of Oz. I didn't know how it worked. I have to watch The Wizard of Oz again, even with my robust movie knowledge. I always thought that Glinda and the Wicked Witch were sisters. I don't think they are now after seeing Wicked. The Wicked Witch does have a sister in Wicked, but turns out the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch were college roommates. They wasn't really a college, but it was like a witch school. And that's how they got to know each other. And that's how they kind of had their falling out. And it ties into The Wizard of Oz perfectly. And I'll get into that again in a second. When we got into the theater, you do this little theme. You walk through. We got some specialty drinks. Then we go and sit down in our seats. And we had right side orchestra right on the ground about 7-8 rows away. It was beautiful seats. We got to see the full production, kind of like off to the side. At some points, it wasn't the full center stage. And I got to see some cool people, from like, not cool people, but cool things with people working off to the side of the set, calling like their shots and their cues, seeing some of the special effects. I kind of like that stuff. So I got to pay attention, obviously, with that. The beginning started off, even with the loud singing, having all that food and the traveling in me, I dozed off a little bit at the beginning. And then the music kicked in, Melty caught me, woke me up, and then I started paying attention. And then, obviously, I was letting her know, like, all right, this guy is going to become the lion. This guy's going to become the Tin Man. This guy's going to become the Scarecrow. And it kind of goes off the timeline of Dorothy, Lannon, and Oz. But I was like, the Wizard, here comes a big spoiler. The Wizard is definitely the Wicked Witch's dad. I was calling all this shit left and right like I do in movies. I wouldn't have done that if Melty never saw it. I wouldn't have ruined it for her. Like, I keep my mouth shut when I'm watching movies. But she already knew, and I kept on calling, and she wouldn't answer. She was just smiling at me because she didn't want to say yes or no. But even the numbers, the dancing, the music, it was really cool. I didn't think I would like that. The Harry Potter play musical didn't really have a lot of singing. It just had, like, some songs in it and dance sequences. But it was a lot more action. This was just, you know, music throughout. And I enjoyed it. I'm going to admit, like, for the longest time, I think up until Harry Potter, I've only seen, like, the Nutcracker on school field trips. I've never been to any type of, that was in Boston, obviously, any type of play after that. I don't go to local theater. And when I was in college, I didn't give a fuck about the college kids that were going to do that stuff. It never appealed to me. I'm a screenwriter, and I like to see actors act in shooting scenes for a movie. I like the editing. I like the special effects. I like you can do on film, like you can do on digital. I'd never been somebody that wanted to see that stuff live, but at my age, maybe the time that I got to enjoy my niece and the time with Melty, now I am liking the theater. I'm liking Broadway. This is something that maybe I would like to do once or twice a year, go back down to New York City and see other plays. I think this ties into like the wine and how I'm just aging and different things get brought in. You know, Eastie kids don't travel the world. They don't go to fucking Napa. They don't become, I'm not saying I'm a wine expert, but they don't become knowledgeable in wine. They don't go to Broadway fucking shows. And I did, and I enjoyed it. Matter of fact, they don't stay on the 43rd floor of the W fucking hotel. But these are things, and I'm not, again, trying to be braggadocious yet again. This is stuff that I appreciate. And this is the stuff that I hope in the podcast people come here and listen to. Somebody like me can make it. Somebody like me can do things like this and appreciate it. And again, I don't do it just for myself. I come here on the podcast. Everything I've done, I brought somebody with me, and I want them to enjoy that part of my life too, because I can provide stuff like that sometimes. And it's not just a price behind it. It's memories. You know, she and I are very appreciative of what we've been doing together. And we keep on saying to each other, we're creating a lot of memories. And, you know, T doing Broadway, again, I'm talking third person, is no different than T does a special trip. But this was New York City. Just like when I went to Vegas with my dad, it was a different story compared to when I went to those guys trips or when I did a bachelor party. Doing Las Vegas with Melty was different than even all of that. There's different experiences with different people. In New York City, I used to go down there with my cousin all the time when we were teenagers. We used to get into so much shit. We were talking old school Times Square. We used to fucking hang out with gangbangers. We should have been shot. We were the back of a diner getting fake IDs. We almost got fucking murdered. We would go there and we would buy mixtapes in fucking like 2 in the morning. You know, we would be in Times Square when it was dirty and gritty. We'd walk over to Queensbridge and Queensboro. We'd go to fucking Harlem. It was nasty New York City in the fucking mid to late 90s. And then I went back in the mid-early 2000s for a job interview. And then I returned back down there for when I went with my niece to go see Harry Potter and now with Melty. I got to watch New York City evolve and change, especially after 9/11. And I went down there to see a friend not too long ago in 2000. Well, it was, and it was 2009. I don't get down there enough. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't have a beef with New York City. The sports team's a different story. It's a hub. It's an international hub, no different than London. I just can only take New York City in small increments. Like I could take Vegas in a longer spurt of time than I could take New York City. New York City, my beef is this, it's that it's overpopulated with tourists, obviously, people that live there. You try to cross the street, there's 100 people next to you and behind you and another 100 coming at you. I'm always telling the girl, like, and she knows this anyway, but watch your pockets. You just, like, it's just too much happening. And there's people out there stopping to take pictures and selfies. I'm guilty of that too. But it's just too much, and that sometimes it's crowded, and it can be dirty. It smells dirty, especially in the summertime. You can't walk one city block without being under the scaffold that's dripping on you, or 10,000 fucking trash bags that were never removed. You see a rat running across the street. There's a crazy, smelly, I'm not knocking homeless people, insane person running around next to you. You got the vendors. I thought the vendors were gone. We were walking through Times Square to go to dinner, and when we were coming back, there were those vendors that I thought were gone that are still there selling the bootleg Rolexes, the bootleg Gucci and Prada fucking bags. I haven't seen that in a long time, but they're still there. I guess there's some old signs of New York City, but the overall Broadway experience, that is something that I got to enjoy. So for any of my guy listeners or even lady listeners out there, do yourself a favor. If you can make it to New York City and go to a Broadway show if you've never been, it's an experience, but don't just shortchange yourself. Like, if you have to put a little bit of coin away and get transportation there that you normally wouldn't take, like I did with a train. Again, we could have drove, we could have flew, but the train wasn't a part of the experience. Stay in Times Square. It was like avoid Times Square. Stay in Times Square. For once in your life, stay in Times Square if you never did. Our room not only was looking over that area, but we were near the Coke sign where the ball drops. I was above it. Do that. Go to a fucking restaurant, whether it's a new one or a classic like Bobby Vance, and treat yourself and the person you love or the people you love to a really good meal, and then go see that Broadway show. I don't know if you want to be a little more cultured or educated or just experience something. To me, like the Harry Potter, because I love Harry Potter, this was a prequel, live-action prequel to a movie, a classic movie that I grew up on. And I enjoyed it. And Melty had a really good time, and she was very appreciative of the weekend that we had. And then the next day, well, we woke up, and we did breakfast in bed. I've never done that. All my times of staying in hotels, I usually go out to eat or I skip breakfast, had a protein bar. We ordered room service and we had robes on. We were really cool because I love bathrobes. I talked about that on the fucking podcast. I had a robe on and slippers. I love a good pair of slippers. And we were just hanging out and we had the noon checkout and train wasn't leaving until 1. So we had a great breakfast. An insane amount of money was paid for the breakfast, for a couple of eggs and some pancakes. And I'm not going to get into that. But that view, eating breakfast, hanging out with her, it was a beautiful thing. And then we got ready and we walked through Times Square. I did the T-blog pose. I picked up a couple little tchotchkes that I like to do. I always pick up a magnet for my house and even my mom, something I always done. I talk about this podcast. Anywhere I go, I always look at her a magnet. I used to bring it back home to her and she put it on her fridge. Now I bring them home to her grave and I put them on her stone on a plaque. She has a shell there from Cuba. She did have a magnet from Cuba, but it was destroyed. She has a magnet there from San Francisco. I didn't get one in Las Vegas. I forgot all about it. I just had the chance to pick up stuff, and now she'll have one from the Big Apple. She has one that I'll put on the grave when I go this weekend. Something I do, it brings, like, again, a part of me. I used to try to bring my mom away as much as I did, but I had that. So we picked it up in Times Square. Then we picked up a couple things for the train ride home. Both of us forgot our Uno decks. I declare this here, and with Melty, I am the greatest Uno player in the world. I could be beat. I am beatable, but when it comes to, like, an overall series, kind of like Tom Brady, right? He can't make it to the Super Bowl every year, and sometimes when he makes it, he even loses. But pound for pound, dollar for dollar, Tom Brady makes it to a lot of Super Bowls. Tom Brady wins a lot of Super Bowls. I am the Tom Brady of Uno. I am the GOAT of Uno. Melty is really good. I will call her the Peyton Manning of Uno, because even though she's really good, she's not quite me. She's not quite the Tom Brady. So we have our ongoing battle, and we both left our Uno decks back in Boston. So we had to pick up an Uno deck, and we found one, and we had that battle on the train ride home. And I like to declare, and Melty finally actually admitted to it, that I am once again and still the reigning, defending, undisputed champion of Uno. The champ is still here. Melty is the Scrabble champion. On the way up to New York City, she beat me by 3 points. On the way home, and again, I got a little distracted with the Kobe news. I'm not going to admit to that. I'm not going to say that I wasn't clear-headed. She whipped my ass in Scrabble on the way home. So in between Uno and Scrabble, I get a text. Usually I'm the one breaking the stuff because I'm on my phone, but I was enjoying my time with Melody. So on the way back to Boston on the end of the weekend from New York City, I got the text from my best buddy that Kobe Bryant died. And I want to, again, this is a positive, this T Dust Broadway, and I'm going to get into this with B-Lo on Thursday's podcast along with the coronavirus, and I'll get more into like my thoughts on Kobe, his career, his complicated legacy with the rape trial and all that too. But for right now, it hit hard. It hit hard in a way because Kobe Bryant, to me, next to Michael Jordan, was, you know, the second greatest NBA player of all time. And he was a year younger than me, and I got to watch his career. He's 41, I'm 42, and now, you know, he was a dad of four girls. And before we get into the whole, his legacy and what that, at that point, it was somebody that was famous, somebody that's tied to sports. It hit closer to home because the rivalry that the Celtics and Lakers always had. I knew Kobe. I saw him play only twice. I booed him. You know, I talked trash about him. That's what you do when somebody goes up against your teams. And it was a history. It was just surprising because he was still young. And I was texting some friends out in California, one personal friend of mine, a really close friend, he loves the Lakers. And I was telling Melty that this is probably the equivalent of Tom Brady dying suddenly in some sort of like accident, like the helicopter crash. It just is an impact, and all this stuff was coming in. And one thing, my beef was this whole thing with social media. Everybody's quick to break the stories. It started off with his whole family died. It started off with him and just his daughters. It was Rick Fox that died. It was all this shit that people just have to be the first ones to get something out there. And by the time, you know, we got to Boston, we knew it was a 9-person count, and it was him and his 13-year-old daughter. So beyond the Kobe Bryant, famous basketball player, one of the greatest of all time, it was a dad and his daughter that died. And that, you know, hit home at my age, a little bit older. It was just something that you had to process. Not only was he famous, but his daughter died. And there is a woman at home that now had to find out that her husband died and one of her daughters died. And then everybody started tweeting this stuff and putting the condolences out and all this stuff with the tributes. That started right away. And this happened to the majority of the train ride home. And I'll talk more with B-Lo, get his take on it too. But, you know, it's just a sad, sad thing to happen, a sad, sad loss of life, sad, sad loss of lives. Can't forget about the other people that lost their lives on that plane, I mean, that helicopter crash as well. I'll just leave you all with this, and again, I'll get into this more with B-Lo on Thursday's podcast. I came home, and, you know, I wrote this Sunday night when I was all settled in after I brought Melty home after her amazing birthday weekend. The Kobe Bryant, I just wanted to settle in, you know, get something out on my personal Facebook. I just felt compelled to do that. I don't know why. I mean, I share some stuff. I only got a certain number of personal friends and family that truly know me on my personal Facebook, where I don't have a problem sharing stuff like pictures of my nieces and nephews or stuff on Melty. Or if I just have a thought in my head, or if I just want to make people laugh, I'll share Tigger pictures. I went to Facebook, and I'll leave you all with this. Then I'll wrap up the podcast. And again, we'll be back on Thursday. And we'll talk about this. Before I say this, just life can be short. If anything that taught me that beyond Kobe was stuff from my mother. I don't do this enough. Just tell the people, let the people know how much you love them. Give somebody a hug, somebody you haven't connected with a while. Like you just like that, somebody could be gone. But here's what I wrote on my personal Facebook. I only got to see Kobe play live twice. He and Paul Pierce, brought the Celtics-Lakers rivalry back. Just like any talented player going up against my Boston teams, let alone a rival team, I would boo him, trash talk him. That's how sports rivalries go. But in my opinion, he was second to only Jordan in my era. And he was better than LeBron. If there was a Mount Rushmore of NBA players of my era, it would go like this. Jordan, Magic, Bird, then Kobe. Beyond basketball, though, he was a dad, a husband. He was only 41. Life is short. Let the people you love know that you love them. If anything comes out of this, it's a reminder for me to do that more. R.I.P. Mamba. All right, that's the show, everyone. That was the show for Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. That was the T Podcast number 136. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back on Thursday with B-Lo. Until next time, always take it there.
Listen to T in the T Podcast on iTunes and tblog.com. Also follow T along on Twitter and Instagram on the T Blog account. all one word, TBLAWG, on the T-Blog Facebook page. And again, on Instagram, this time on the T-Podcast account, the_T_podcast. You can send comments and questions along to T@T-blog.com. That's T@T-BLAWG.com. The show has now ended. T has taken it there.